The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And good afternoon. Welcome to the madness of March. It has been an insane tournament, and we're not even done with the day yet, and already upsets are occurring. It is our first show of spring, so we got through the cold winter, and we are ready to roll today with some, well, some not so great news from the over the weekend. Another SEC team goes home. There's still plenty around, though. Oral Roberts did it again. The Gators seemingly had the game won yesterday, and then the magic of Oral Roberts came through in the end. Mike White, still a good season, but a crushing ending. And Oral Roberts becomes the second 15 seed to advance, of all time, I should say, although in this tournament wouldn't be that surprising either, to the Sweet 16.
Hard-fought game, very, very tough emotional season for these guys. I really would have liked to have seen Keontae and his teammates have a chance to celebrate and an opportunity to go to the Sweet 16, be up here another week, and see what happens from there. Unfortunately, you know, these guys are crushed, and that's it for this year's Gators. Tough ending, but congrats to Oral Roberts.
So some other scores over the weekend. Alabama struggled, but don't let the final score fool you. They had a hard time. But tonight they take on Maryland as the Big Ten continues to hold on for dear life. Arkansas nearly let a game get away against Texas Tech. And, yep, that looks like an easy matchup, doesn't it, against Oral Roberts? 15 seed versus a 2. You may want to think again. LSU made short speed out of St. Bonnie tonight. They take on Michigan, one of the best matchups of the entire four-day tournament. And Missouri, even catching a break with one of the top players for OU out, are now out themselves of the NCAA basketball tournament. Tonight's game, it's all about Bama and LSU as Alabama and LSU look to advance. This is a Sweet 16 on a Monday night. Get used to some strange nights, because this week, as we move into the Sweet 16, will even be different. The games don't start till the weekend. The usual Thursday, Friday are over. Meanwhile, big surprise, Dawn Staley won a game in the NCAA tournament, and in the process, she notched her 500th win. She still looks too young to win 500 games. That's how good she is.
I mean, it's a great milestone. It means that you've been in the game a long time, and more than likely you had some great players that allowed you to get to this point. From my Temple days to my South Carolina days, I can count the many, all of them actually, that played a role in this milestone, and I'm forever indebted to them. But 501 sounds nice, and you know, and on and on and on. So 500 is great tonight. Tuesday we got to lock up and play.
It's already been a busy day in the NCAA women's tournament. How about that? Georgia, runner-up in the SEC this year in the tournament, knocked off Drexel 67-53. They'll face the Oregon-South Dakota winner. And Alabama making a first appearance in a long time, taking on North Carolina. North Carolina can't seem to win anything this year. Lost in the New Year's Six games to an SEC team. Lost the other night in men's, and the women go down. Meanwhile, Kentucky handling Idaho State. Tennessee yesterday over Middle. Arkansas trailing right now. That would be considered an upset, but there's still plenty of time that we'll follow that game throughout. And Troy and the number 2 seed Texas A&M Aggies take that game will be a little bit later on. How about baseball? And are you surprised by anything the Vandy boys do? You shouldn't be. A couple years ago, they had, was it a perfect game or no-hitter in the NCAA tournament? Today, they're celebrating Jack Leiter's no-hitter. And that's how it ended, as the son of a major league no-hit did it, and the Vanderbilt Commodores are number one in the country. Young Mr. Leiter, what about it?
To experience this with my teammates as our first, a lot of ours, first SEC weekends of our careers here, it's really special. It's special for everybody, and it's very exciting. It felt good in the bullpen. It felt pretty good in the first inning, but I mean, walking the first guy, obviously not what you want to do, and I would say, honestly, not really until the sixth, seventh inning, it felt like it was a little bit different than other games.
And we all have a lot to do on the program today, including a couple of SEC football coaches. Yeah, I know what's going on the hardwood, but there's a lot of practice going on the gridiron, and we'll talk to Lane Kiffin. Wonder how his bracket's doing. We'll talk some more women's basketball. Harry Lyles Jr. from Indianapolis. Eli Drinkwitz from Columbia, and Seth Greenberg, our usual Monday night guest, to get us ready for tonight's action. And your phone calls, of course, at 855-242-7285. And let's start with John in Louisville. Hello, John.
Good afternoon, Paul, and I look forward to Seth Greenberg.
Thank you.
I'm sure your bracket, like all of ours, are just been crushed.
I burned it.
Hey, before I ask you a question about tonight's game, I just want to come to the defense of Dick Vitale. I watched that game, and he said nothing bad about LSU. Maybe his partner did mention that recruits should pause and think about it, but if anything, he complimented LSU throughout the game. And
John, let me ask you a question, and I do not have a degree. Maybe you do in public relations, but if you're in the spot that – Will Wade is in, why would you do anything to call more attention to yourself? Wouldn't you just let it go?
He's got a case of arrogance. But you're right about that. Dick Vitale is just a phenomenal. He's an icon over in basketball, college basketball. I was just shocked that he would make that statement later. But Dick Vitale actually complimented LSU throughout the game. And what journalist or sportscaster says, no, I won't bring that up. It was brought up by ESPN putting something across the TV screen. So I just think the world of Dick Vitale. And, you know, at 81, he's doing a phenomenal job. And as for the coach, when you talk to a cash middleman who talks to a third party, who talks about a big ass effort or offer, that pretty much speaks for itself.
Yes, it does, John. And we will move on. Jeff is up next in Knoxville. Hey, Jeff. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Okay. Thank you.
I'm actually on the same vein. Of course, Tennessee, you know, losing the first round was not pleasurable at all. But, you know, yeah, there's guys out of this conference, Nate Oates, Musselman, that, you know, carry the torch on, and of course it was not a great day on Friday for me, but my biggest issue is the fact that I'm having to watch Will Wade still in this tournament, and my bigger problem is that I believe Emmert, who is over the NCAA now, was the chancellor who was in charge whenever Nick Saban was hired to LSU. Is there not some kind of conflict of interest there?
No. I mean, you're right. Mark Emmert was the chancellor 20 years ago, and after that he went to Washington. Now he's the president of the NCAA. But, you know, in theory, the president of the NCAA is not involved in the enforcement process. There is a check and balance, and you know, while he supervises the entire body, and I'm not saying he couldn't influence it, but you know, I don't think Mark Emmert is involved in the LSU investigation at all.
Well, I don't think he's directly involved, but I think this process is going at such a painstakingly slow pace. And I mean, I'm not just talking about LSU. I mean, you know, obviously I had an affection for Bruce Pearl and still do. But, you know, Chuck Person has already been, I don't know if he's been.
Yeah, but Jeff, let me offer this. And, you know, I'll leave the lawyering to others, but this isn't really an investigation. This is a matching of wits of $1,000 an hour lawyers. And that's, you know, we saw it. I mean, just read the report in the Les Miles situation. You know, why wasn't he fired? Because you had a bunch of lawyers trying to out lawyer each other and saying, well, you know, you better not fire him, because if you do. And that's the same thing. That was the problem initially with Will Wade. I don't know what the issue is anymore. I'm not sure anyone even cares anymore whether he did or didn't, based on what I hear from LSU fans.
That's the thing is.
And just see what happens. See if he wins tonight. Can you imagine him going to the Final Four?
Yeah, no. And you know what I'm looking at is here. You know, obviously we have some NCAA investigations coming down the pike. It seems that we've somewhat gotten out in front of it, but
Jeff, let me ask you a question.
If you're smart, we get killed.
What did Tennessee do that LSU didn't do?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Tennessee threw themselves on the mercy of the court. They said we did it. LSU still hasn't.
That was it. And basically, at this point, to me, Paul, and correct me if I'm wrong, LSU has pretty much thumbed their nose at it and said, you know, hey, we suspended them, you know, the last year that we actually had a tournament. But beyond that, we haven't done anything.
Well, all they did was something to their advantage. They were able to restructure Will Wade's contract. So if they are under investigation, I'm not even sure whether they're under an official letter or are convicted, they can fire him with cause, so they don't have to pay him off.
Right. Sure. Sure. And I guess it all comes down to semantics and legal wrangling.
That's the way of the world. And I, you know, like it or not, you rarely hear anyone stand up and speak out anymore, because we're all too concerned about what someone else will think and the legalese of it. And are we being fair? Anyway, I won't get into a political debate. We'll leave that up and down the channel. We're up against a break, though. We will continue to take your phone calls. We have some room here at the front end for conversation, and then there's wall-to-wall guests, including two SEC football coaches, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Question to Devontae Smith today. How much are you weighing now? The answer, same I've been weighing. Not much. Devontae Smith, one of many Alabama players who will be on center stage tomorrow as Pro Day reaches Tuscaloosa. We'll have coverage right here and all day long on the network. And Augie is in New Orleans, and you're on the air. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul. Remember last week was Let's Hate Pulmonary Week? And I came to the guy's defense, and Pulmonary being LSU's baseball coach. Well, he went 1-for-2 against Mississippi State this Saturday, so I guess everybody wants him fired, right?
Can't tell you I've been really thinking about it, but I will start immediately.
And last week you had a call from Joe, who was doing the act of contrition because he called you some names on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, Joe from Red Bay. He called me an a-hole.
Paul, that's the least of some of the comments that are on Twitter about you, and they're throwing me in there too. So, you know.
Yeah, I wonder, Augie, can you give me some legal advice? Should I become outraged like some of my colleagues in the media and just start, you know, fighting back and blocking them and attacking them?
Well, you know, what do they say? If they're talking about you, whether it's good or bad, then you're doing something right, right?
Yeah, I'm always disappointed when someone says something nice about us.
But, you know, as far as blocking people, even old Tim Brando blocked me because I was down on he got mad at me because I was anti-Ensminger, and I think he really likes the guy. So
I asked him about that once, and he really likes to engage, and, you know, he has zero tolerance. I have, and this is just me here, I've never blocked anyone because I'm not really sure why I would.
Well, he blocked me, and I'm not going to say anything bad about him, but, you know, come on. When you block somebody, that's almost like waving the white flag. But, Paul, what about the Big Ten? I mean, they took a big hit today. Iowa got bounced by Oregon, and over the weekend, there are only two teams left, and after tonight, there could be none. But
didn't one of those geniuses that we've had on here tell us the Big Ten was by far the best conference in college basketball?
I won't say any names, but you're absolutely right. And I got to say to the St. Bonnie people, they were so proud and happy on Friday. But I guess their days of
Hey, Augie, let me say this to you, and our producer is a St. Bonnie person. Knowing I've met four or five St. Bonnie people in my time, I doubt they even remember it. They just decided to extend St. Patrick's Day for a week.
Well, so Paul, I heard your last caller talk about Will Wade. You know, we love Will Wade right now in Baton Rouge. Now, it could be a different story after tonight. We could be calling for the NCAA to come in.
But Augie, think about this scenario. So he beats, let's say they win tonight against Michigan. Then I'm trying to think of the bracket in the Sweet 16.
It doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, at some point they'll have to deal with Alabama. They're in the same regional.
I think if he makes the Elite Eight, then as far as Will Wade goes in Baton Rouge, he's golden. I think if he just wins one more game and knocks off Michigan, that would be huge. Because really, LSU finished. Where did they finish? Like fourth in the SEC, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Or third. I don't remember. But as far as Will Wade goes, I think people, even in the SEC, are wanting Will Wade to fail because he has been convicted in the court of public opinion. And I'm not saying he's innocent, not saying that at all, because from what he said, it sounded to me like there was some unscrupulous dealings going on. But you know what they say, when you win, it forgives a lot of sins.
So, oh, sure.
That's what I say.
Hey, thanks, Augie. It's sports. You're in it to win. This is not Little League where we're all trying to win trophies. So, Will Wade, biggest game of his career tonight. He's had some big wins throughout, but this would be the most significant win, knocking off the one seed. Thank you for the call. And here's what happens. If LSU wins tonight, then they'll take on the winner of Colorado and Florida State. And if they win that game, they'll take on very likely Alabama in the Sweet Elite Eight. How about that? That would be pretty bizarre, wouldn't it? Let's check out who we got here. Platypus in Pittsburgh. You're on the air. Hey, Platypus, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing well.
Well, I got a big smile on my face today, but I will say, Paul, I trusted you. You emphatically told me Oregon State had no chance. What happened?
Here's the problem. You trusted me on a college basketball prediction.
Yeah, I did. I put my faith in you. But I will say the loss of John Fulkerson definitely played a big role in that game. I felt bad for Tennessee there. But I frankly should have doubled down on that bet. The big shock was the next game last night, Oregon State versus Oklahoma State. Who saw that coming?
Yeah, I mean, I wish we could replay all the basketball cognoscenti who, you know, raved about Cave and raved about this one. I mean, there have been so many stunning upsets in this tournament, Platypus, that I mean, you can't stop at one. There have been, I think there have been 12 upsets of a team five seeds lower or higher, I should say, than the team it vanquished. Larry is in Richmond, Virginia. Hello, Larry.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good, Paul. I just wanted to get your reaction to my alma mater taking care of the number one seed in the Midwest Regional. And let me just say one more thing. You know those people that say bad things about you? Just ignore them because they don't know what they're talking about anyway.
Well, you know, you're talking about Loyola. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say this, and I agree, that Loyola was simply seeded too low. I mean, they should have been a higher seed. And, you know, they were just fabulous in both games. And I think sometimes these big teams, and I think when we do the autopsy on this season, we're going to find out that the Big Ten was just simply not as tough as we thought it was.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I graduated from there in 62. They won the that tells you how old I am, by the way.
They won that year.
They won the year after. They
won the year after.
And anyway, I just hit the big 8-0, and I just, you know, keep rooting for them.
Well, Larry, you sound mighty young at the 8-0, so I hope many more Rambler wins ahead for you.
Thanks, Paul.
Hey, thank you very much.
Keep watching you.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much. Tim is up next in South Carolina. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you today?
Doing great.
I kind of want to back up what the last caller said about Loyola. I think, you know, you and I are the same age. I've seen all the greats coach and all the greats play, and that was one of the most perfectly executed basketball games I've ever watched in my life. It was amazing.
Yeah, Tim, it really was. And it's just so easy to typecast Loyola because of one person, and she's not even a player. But this is now the second time we've seen this movie, and it's pretty remarkable. We're up against a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Lane Kiffin coming up here shortly. But until then, more of your calls. If you have any thoughts on the two huge games in the SEC tonight, LSU, Michigan, and Bama and Maryland.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And let's get to the calls. And we were listening to Mike White during the break talk about it. And I said this the other day, and I still think Mike White, even in defeat, showed a lot of courage, especially on Friday, by taking the stand he did on Omar Payne. A lot of coaches would have just looked past that and said, hey, we're in the tournament. Who cares? We're trying to win. But he showed a lot of leadership and dignity, something you don't see as often as you used to in this business. David is up next. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
I am a Gator basketball fan and actually football fan. It's just that, I don't know, it's just I don't understand why the Gators just didn't hit the gas pedal. They had the lead, slowing it down. You know, when you've got horses that, you know, you can just push that ball up and lock and man, I just don't understand why he just slowed it down, because I think that they would have been able to finish – you know, with the W. And then also you think out of the roster that they have moving forward, you think Mann makes the jump to the NBA, or obviously it's too early, or you think he'll go ahead and declare?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of information he's getting, David. I really don't. Hey, thank you for the call. And by the way, Payne played some yesterday, but There's a lot of conversation about Mike White out there, and I'm just a talk show host. I think he does do all the right things. Now, you know, did he let that game get away last night? Of course he did. I mean, the score speaks for itself. He had a lead. He was in a great position, and those are tough situations to be in. But he's not the first team to let Oral Roberts get away with it. Hey, let's move back to the calls. If you want to give us a ring, you can do so now, 855-242-7285. Let's check out Wendy in Ohio. Hello, Wendy. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, how you doing?
We are doing well.
I think Maryland's going to beat Alabama.
Why?
Especially the way they played the other night.
Have you seen Alabama?
No, I saw Maryland play.
Let me ask you, what does Maryland do so well that makes you think they can beat Alabama?
I just think they got a really good team.
And Wendy, I don't mean to be repetitive, but have you seen Alabama play this year?
I don't think so, no.
You are in for a shock. They're elite.
And Oral Roberts is really, really good.
Okay.
I thought Florida was going to win that for sure last night. You know?
Wendy, any other analysis you want to share with us?
I just wish you a good day, and you take good care.
Thank you. Yeah, I will. I certainly will. Sometimes you do. Listen, I understand people watching a team and thinking they are good. Maryland is a really good team. They've been inconsistent, but they've been good. But I am having a hard time believing Alabama is going to be outmanned by Maryland tonight. Alabama played a terrible game, frankly, against. Again, who they played? I've lost track of who they played. I've drawn a blank here. But my point being, they played Iona. But they played a really terrible game against Iona, especially in the first half. And I think some of that was Rick Pitino. He did work some magic, but they just limped to a double digit win. And, you know, sometimes you need that. Sometimes a team, in spite of what everyone says, just comes out cold. We saw it Friday, Saturday. We saw it yesterday with Illinois. It's hard to predict. Tournaments will – you see upsets so often because teams just mentally, they don't listen to the coach. They go, we're Illinois. We're Iowa, we're Alabama, and we're not going to have a hard time. That's why upsets are so prevalent. Now, we've never seen anything like this before, and you can attribute some of that to a complete train wreck of a season. Some teams, you know, had played a full complement of games. Some teams played 70%. Iona had a 2 or 3 week. Pause. Baylor was out for a while. Texas A&M, remember, they didn't play for more than a month. So there is a disparity among teams, and a lot of the quality games you would normally play early in the year simply weren't there. Jeff is from Maryland, and you're on the air. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing today?
We're well, thank you.
Oh, good, good. I just want to make a comment on the – I'm Jeff from Maryland, by the way. But how good the Pac-12 has been in the playoffs, and no one has given him any credit the whole season.
Well, why not?
Because they're on the left coast, and no one watches them. And the talking people, the talking heads on ESPN, they never watch them to give them any credit. That's the
problem. Hold on a second. Let me ask you a question, Jeff. Who televises who televises most of those Pac-12 games?
What's that?
I said, who televises most of those Pac-12 games on Thursday and Saturday?
ESPN.
Yeah, so don't tell ESPN. Me, hey, come here. Don't tell me ESPN doesn't give them enough credit when ESPN is doing the game.
They don't give them credit because they don't give them credit. Because they, all they do is they talk up the Big Ten.
Jeff, that is a fairly archaic take, to be perfectly honest with you.
No. But do you see what I'm saying?
I really don't see what you're saying. I think you're just using a lazy take that you heard probably 10 years ago. That all Dick Vitale does is praise Duke. I've heard Bill Walton praise the Pac-12. I've heard other people say it.
They might talk about the Big Ten being so great.
Well, the Big Ten, hey, Jeff, the Big Ten was great. The Big Ten was the best league during the season. What are they supposed to say? They're no good?
That's because your talking heads are telling us that. If you watch the games, they play.
Jeff, I've got bad news for you.
The
ESPN.
They walk the ball up the court. They don't play any defense. And they shoot from the eye. They got beat by teams that's quickness. They can't compete with them. That's what I can see. It's not the old-time bias.
Jeff, it is the old-time bias. And take a breath now and then, okay? Rick is up next in SoCal. Hey, Rick.
Paul, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
Alabama is certainly capable of beating Maryland, but, Petty's got to find himself. I mean, he's been really struggling. I mean, the guy's got all the talent in the world, and I know he's playing really good defense, but they need his scoring. Against a good Maryland team, they're not just going to roll over for him. And
he took a wrong turn on the way to Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, but that's been going on for a few weeks. And then just in Indianapolis, he struggled the last four or five games of the season. But certainly they are so deep. This Alabama team goes 8-9 deep, and that's unlike what they've done in the past. In fact, that's been their issues over the year. They just run out of gas. But they rotate guys in. I think they'll handle Maryland, but, UCLA is another story. Or Abilene Christian, you don't know what they got coming. But did you see that joke on Ohio State in Florida? Did you see what it said, Oral Roberts has officially ended Ohio State and Florida runs, a feat last accomplished by Urban Meyer's health problems.
I missed that one.
some reason it just cracked me up. But anyway, Roll Tide, hope they pull it out this evening. Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Thank you very much. Great to hear from you. We'll take a break. All of your phone calls continue to come in here at 855-242-7285. Busy caller first hour, and then we start locking down with guests. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So Alabama getting ready for tonight's game against Maryland from the Big Ten. And if they advance, they'll take on the UCLA Abilene Christian matchup. On paper, that looks like one of the easiest routes in the tournament. On the other side, of course, Michigan, LSU, and Colorado, and Florida State. Nate Oates earlier today.
Yeah, I mean, we've survived the first round, which is good. Not everybody did that. Didn't play our best basketball, but I think our defense has been carrying us. Our defense carried us again. Offensively, we struggled a little bit. I think, hopefully his first game jitters got him out of the way. Can settle in and play a lot better. We're going to play well against Maryland. They're a tough team. They're physical, obviously, playing in the Big Ten. They're used to playing in a tough league. We're going to have to rebound the ball well. We're going to have to We're going to have to guard well again. We're going to have to be a lot better on offense than we were the last game. But I think our guys will be ready. We had a good videos. Coaches were up late last night. Players got in this morning. Put the scout in. Had a good practice. We didn't, it wasn't hard and physical. Nothing really live. But I thought the guys were locked into the scouting report. And now they're getting some lunch, resting in their rooms. We'll get back at it, do some more video tonight. And then do a shoot around tomorrow and be ready to go tomorrow night.
And we welcome you back. More of your phone calls in a moment at 855-242-7285. Lane Kiffin coming up here shortly. And Keith is up next in Texas. So hello, Keith.
What's going on, Paul? How's your Monday?
It is going great. Thank you.
You sound awful chipper.
Well, the sun's out. It's the temperature is above 40. We're making the right turn.
Well, hey, I just had a quick thought on why there are so many upsets this year. And I think it starts with a problem that's common in basketball, but it's also common in football. You know, the AP poll starts the perception of which teams are good and which teams are bad. And so these teams didn't play a lot of out-of-conference games. So we, you know, the ESPN and the sports writers got all caught up on how great the Big Ten was, and the best league in college basketball. And, you know, that influence pours over to the committee. And, you know, you can't take a team that's ranked eight and actually see them where they need to be down at 14. So you wound up with a bunch of Big Ten teams, nine exactly, 2-1 seeds, 2-2 seeds, and a 4 seed. In the reality, the Big Ten just wasn't that good. I mean, they're down to two teams now. They may not even get a team in the Sweet 16. So, you know, that perception that comes from the sports writers that want things to be a certain way influences the committee. And the same thing happens in football. I hear you say all the time, well, you know, the AP poll doesn't really matter. It does matter because it sets the perception and the expectations. So by the time the committee starts to vote, you got all these teams ranked where they shouldn't be, and you have this perception that conferences are good. Like every year, I hear how great the Big Ten is in football, and they probably couldn't match up and beat the ACC as a conference. It would be pretty close. So until we get sports writers out of voting and setting these perceptions and expectations, you know, the committees are always going to be influenced. And so the seeding in a tournament like this is way off this year. It's the worst I've ever seen it. And it all comes from...
Yeah, but Keith, let me ask you this. Do you know anyone who would have seeded Oral Roberts, North Texas, or Abilene Christian higher?
No, but I do know some people that probably would have seeded some of these teams.
Yeah, Loyola is the one that I think was...
Talking about the top four seeds, I think there were a lot of misseeding, you know, even down.
Yeah, but my response to that, Keith, is I understand, you know, if a seven, you know, beats a, what would it be, a two or a three, but I mean, you're getting 15s, 14s, 13s, and 12s winning, and you know that I don't think that is a seeding issue as much as. As when you get to, the Sunday games, you can see some seeding issues. The game lasts, on the first day of the tournament, though.
Yeah, so I will say this about basketball in general. You know, we're into about 20 years, 20 solid years of kids playing select or AAU basketball from the time they're 3 years old or 4 years old. I coached for 25 years select basketball. So the talent pool is so much greater than it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or 15 years ago.
But, Keith, let me get a quick question here as a coach. Hey, wouldn't you also agree, though, the pressure of this tournament affects players unlike any other setting they have been in?
Well, absolutely. Well, but that's the beauty of this tournament. You got to come to play. You got one chance. And if you're not ready to go, You're not gonna be around.
No, hey, thank you. I wish we could talk longer. I really appreciate your insight, but that's really the issue. You get behind a little bit. We saw it against Ohio State. We saw it at some other games yesterday as well. That there's no crash course in having to deal with the final 30 seconds of an NCAA tournament game. When you lose, it's over. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.